We have some visitors today with us from Tallahassee. We have Brad and Heather Bradley and their children, Forrest, Anna, Stephen, and Mercy Caroline. And we're so glad. They're just a wonderful family. They've been sharing with us today, and we've enjoyed it. In fact, Brad said he would share a testimony with you, so we got a mic in his hand over there. You're eager to hear, Brad. Share something with us. Take your time.
All right. Well, thank you. First, I wanted to say that all the glory, praise, and honor goes to God, and that I must decrease so that Christ can increase in me. So that's my prayer. First, I wanted to share this story. Hopefully, it would be an encouragement to any one individual or any family who has a family member who has experienced this. But back in 1995, through a pretty devastating loss in my mind as I saw it then, I was probably borderline entering into depression, and because of that, I was out late one evening. I had gone to a movie with a friend, and when we had left the movie, he took me back to where I had left my car at our church, and then I had left for home. I was still 20 years old and was living at home with my parents, and on the way home, less than 2 miles from home, a deer ran into the right front fender of my car, and immediately, because that was happening on my right side, I went left and crossed the lane, crossed the oncoming lane, and ran off the road and hit a telephone pole, completely demolishing the driver's side of the car, the car was obviously completely totaled, and I was instantly unconscious. And I need to say that really I don't have any first-hand memory of any of that. My memory goes blank about the time that I left the parking lot at the church, and I don't regain first-hand memory of my life, really, for about 3.5 or 4 weeks after the accident. So most of what I'm sharing is what was relayed to me after I got my memory back. But that night, when I had the accident and was unconscious, God, in His absolute sovereignty, had a wonderful couple that were out walking their dog, and this was probably after 9:30 at night, and they were walking their dog, and the accident happened right in front of their house, and the man came running down in his bare feet through the broken glass on the street or in the grass, and came to me and saw that I was unconscious, obviously, and slumped over towards the steering wheel. And he said it looked like I was having trouble breathing. So he unbuckled my seatbelt, and he knew not to pull me out or do anything. So he said he did the only thing that he knew he could do. And he placed his hand on my left shoulder, and he prayed with me after he had called for his wife to dial 911. So he prayed with me for about the 8 or 10 minutes that it took the EMS to arrive. And then as he stood back, and of course the paramedics and so forth pulled me out and were cutting my shirt off so they could attach their monitors and so forth. At the time I was wearing a gold chain with a gold cross on it. And he told me several months after this happened, when I met him for the first time, he told me that when he saw the cross around my neck, that he leaned over to his wife and whispered the words, "He's going to be okay." So I firmly believe that it was that immediate prayer for my life and for my health that called forth all the power of God from heaven, and he began touching me right then and started a very quick and very fast road to recovery. Because the paramedics that night knew that obviously I was unconscious, and I guess it was ascertained that I was in a coma. And where this happened, like I said, was 2 miles from my parents' house. Well, it was beginning to get a little foggy that night, and the paramedics had determined that I needed to be at the hospital extremely fast. So they had to get me to the hospital. Rather than taking me back in the ambulance, they called for life flight, helicopter. And where this accident happened, there's nowhere for the helicopter to land. So they actually had to take me further out of town, which would happen to be in my family's property, to land the helicopter. That was the closest place for the helicopter to land. It was beginning to get foggy that night, and again, in God's sovereignty, I believe it was the God's sovereignty, that there was a sheriff's department helicopter was already in the area for whatever reason they'd be out there, and they had the searchlight on, searching for the field that's near my family's property to be able to land the plane. Well, all out where I live, or out where my parents live, is all family. It's about 14 or 15 households of Bradleys that live in our own little area in Leon County. And when the sheriff's department helicopter is flying low over the property and shining its light into the woods, it's going to raise an eyebrow or two. So I had several of the males in my family, my dad being one of them, and several uncles and cousins were stepping out their front doors, looking up in the sky, wondering why was the sheriff's department helicopter searching the woods and searching the area. And of course, they were all thinking, you know, it must be an escaped prisoner of some sort. So they were all kind of curious. And then they heard what sounded like the helicopter trailing off or going away. And then they heard it coming back. They thought it was the same helicopter, but as it turns out, it was Life Flight, who was coming to the coordinates of the landing place that the sheriff's department had found. So when they landed, they actually landed in my uncle's, basically in my uncle's pasture, which is very near their house. So when all the other family members heard the helicopter landing and they knew it was landing near my uncle's house, they all immediately assumed that it was my uncle had had a heart attack of some sort or some other medical emergency. So my family started to converge on that house, including my father. And he was, I think, the second or third one to come driving up. So one of my other uncles, who had arrived first and had found out that it was me, ran over to my dad's truck, and as he opened the door and stepped out, he grabbed my dad on both shoulders and said, "Randy, it's Brad." And my uncle said immediately he had to grab my dad and basically pick him up and set him back in the vehicle, because he just about collapsed at that news. And of course, at that point, Dad just about lost it, and he had to turn around and follow, or my uncle ended up following him back to my parents' house, which was just right around the corner. And when my mom, who was at home and knew that I should have been home already, saw my dad and my uncle in a vehicle right behind him, coming very fast down the driveway, she just about lost it already. But when Dad opened the door and told her what had happened, they about had to scoop her up off the floor. It was just incredible. And so the long story short is that uncle drove my mom and my dad back into the hospital. But to get to the hospital, they had to go by the accident, and they saw what was left of my car. And to be honest, there wasn't much left of the vehicle. And of course, the deer, well, in actuality the deer that had caused the accident had actually gotten up and run off in the woods, I guess, and everyone supposes probably died later that night or whatever. But it was just horrendous damage to the vehicle. And the driver's side door was ripped off, and I had a small cut, I guess, what ended up being superficial in the back of my head. But the big issue with me was head trauma and a closed head injury. So when I got to the hospital in the helicopter and they were working on me in the emergency room, they basically let my parents and my sister and all of my family enter into the emergency room and visit me, because their the doctor's assumption, or their operating assumption that night, was that I wasn't going to make it through the night. I was entered into the ER. They told me, I think it was called the Rancho scale. Brother Bill could probably confirm that or not, but Rancho scale, I was entered, I think, in Rancho level 2. And I think Rancho level 1 is the deepest possible coma, and I was at level 2. And as I said, the staff was not expecting me to live that night. So my parents were counseled that they needed to come see me and say goodbye, and all my friends and everyone really who showed up was allowed to visit me, and I guess to pay their final respects and goodbyes. But God had something different in mind. Praise God. That night wore on into the next day, and those days wore on into the next week, and actually 2 weeks exactly from the accident. As I was told, I was lying there in the bed, and I opened my eyes, and my dad was there. In fact, someone from my family was by my bedside for the entire time that I was unconscious, and they remained at my bedside for the entire time that I was at Tallahassee Memorial Hospital, which was 3 total weeks, 2 weeks unconscious in the intensive care, and then 1 week on the neuro floor. And they remained with me for another 5 weeks at inpatient therapy at a Health South Rehab Hospital. But when I opened my eyes and recognized my father, and then eventually when my mom was told and brought in, and we were all communicating, everybody thought that everything was over, that I was fine, but they came to find out very quickly that even though I was conscious, and even though I was communicating and recognizing and speaking, that I wasn't there. To me, I was dreaming. I was in a weird dream-like state. I had no grasp of what was reality. Things were just seeming very weird. In fact, I remember that I would shake my head violently back and forth, trying to wake myself up because things weren't right. I shouldn't be in the hospital. I didn't know what was going on. But after I became conscious, and I actually just want to give a quick story about being unconscious in the bed, and my sister, bless her heart, she's 4 years younger than I am, Erica, she came into the hospital room one day, as she did probably most every day, to visit with me and to talk to me, and as I mentioned, the superficial cut that I had on my head, they had had to shave my head to stitch it up, and of course, by this time, my hair was beginning to grow back, and it looked probably very weird. And my sister, being the loving sister that she is, made some kind of snide comment about my hair and how it looked funny. And even in the unconscious state that I was in, I was able to raise my hand, and I felt my hand, or felt my hair rather, where they had cut it and fixed the cut. So seeing that I was responding to something that she said directly, just totally impacted her, and she burst into tears, and of course everyone in the room did. But moving from TMH, from being unconscious in the intensive care, going into the neuro floor, and then being transferred from TMH into Health South, it just is an amazing short amount of time given the level of trauma that I had experienced. And it's all by the grace of God that He did such a mighty and such a quick work in me. It ended up, I was only at Health South for 5 weeks, which, according to the therapist and the doctors there, was virtually unheard of. It was amazing to them that I was recovering so fast. And even though I was a believer, and I had, become a confessing Christian, or I had been saved by Jesus as a six-year-old, I believe. I did not have a grasp of the true gospel and the promises of the Bible, and how there's so much more than just a really neat story about salvation, but they're true, and we can grasp them. I didn't know that even then, but I think it's by God's grace that that He put a word of testimony in my mouth, because I was undergoing physical therapy towards the end of the 5 weeks that I was there, and the physical therapist was just gushing words of compliment to me. And, "Oh, Brad, you've done such a good job. You're doing so well. You've come such a long way." And I remember telling her that it wasn't me, that it was God. And immediately she says, "Well, you need to take some credit for that, because you've been working really hard." And I just remember I restated it again, that it wasn't me, that it was God doing it. And like I said, I didn't know the true gospel that I've come to know by His grace now. So I praise Him that even in that in that state of mind regarding the gospel, He was still able to get glory in everything. So 3 weeks at TMH, 5 weeks at Health South, I was released, and I had to return to Health South for 2 days a week to have outpatient therapy for several hours each morning that I was there. And then I was released completely from the hospital several weeks, I should say, before my 21st birthday. And again, it's by God's grace and by His absolute sovereignty and power and healing that happened, because the therapist and the doctors were just astounded, and they kept saying that there were going to be case studies written about this, and it was going to be put in textbooks that recovery had happened so fast. So I am a living example to anyone who has experienced this or has any family member who is even still in a coma. I understand, or I listened to the testimony that was read a couple of studies ago about the young lady who's 18 now and has been in a coma for 3 years. I want to encourage her parents to do exactly what they have been doing and trust in God that their daughter will awaken and will be made whole by the power of Jesus and His blood on the cross. He took that and paid the price for it already. So it's just a matter of in God's timing. Brother Bob reminded me several weeks ago or a couple weeks ago that we have to be patient, wait on the Lord. So I know that it's extremely hard day after day and month and year to see your daughter unconscious, but God's doing a mighty work, and what an incredible testimony she will be to others in the same situation just like me when she awakens and says, "Hallelujah, God healed me, God raised me." So that's my testimony regarding the healing power and the power of our God. I praise him so much for doing that. And then, as if that wasn't enough, his grace and His mercy, he allowed me to go on. I only ended up missing one semester of school at the time. I was nearing the halfway or a little over halfway point in engineering school at FSU. And again, by His grace, I only missed one semester and ended up graduating in April of 97. And I fell short of my self-imposed grade point average goal by 0.03 of a point. I had hoped to have a 3.5, and I graduated with 3.47 by God's grace. It's absolutely Him working and moving in that situation that I was able to do that He did that through me. And then fast forward a couple more years, and he introduced me to my loving wife who's here sitting with my family of four children. Back in 1995, everyone thought I was dead. And now in 2008 in February, I'm sitting here in a room full of God-fearing, Jesus-loving believers, baptized in the Holy Spirit and full of life, with my wife and four children. And I praise Him for that opportunity. And I just encourage anybody again who's anywhere near that kind of situation, a family member, a loved one of any kind, take courage and know that God is a healing God, and the promises in the book are true. Read them, and don't just look at the words on the page, but let your spirit be enlightened to open up and take it as the gospel, because it is. I think that phrase is used flippantly a lot of times, that it's the gospel, but it's so true. And those words mean exactly what they say.
Amen.
So I thank you guys for letting me have a chance to share that.
Well, what's the Lord doing in your heart in the last few years? I mean, how's he changing your life? How's he blessing you?
I tell you, Brother David, he has opened my eyes. I made reference several times to the fact that when the accident happened, I had been a believer, or so I thought, since age 6. But since about a year ago, is late February or early March of 2007, when the Holy Spirit, I believe wholeheartedly, had me happen onto the website, americaslastdays.com, and I began hearing truth from the Word. Same words that I had read in the Bible over and over and over again, but now I was understanding or being led by the Spirit to see that they do mean exactly what they say, and that it's not just warm, fuzzy, good feeling words, but it's truth, and it's happening. It's amazing how God has opened my eyes and began to work in my life immediately. And then I was bringing to my wife what I was learning, and I have to be honest, she was apprehensive about it and very anxious or full of anxiety, really, about it for the first several months. But eventually, God almost from one day to the next opened her eyes, and she began to receive His word of truth. And we've been listening to the Bible studies here at Unleavened Bread Ministries. And honestly, I have to say that I can't wait from Wednesday to Sunday to Wednesday to when the next word of truth is going to be spoken and taught. Because when I read along and follow along in the Bible, that's exactly what's being shared. Is the words from the page are just coming to life and changing our lives to follow and run after God. We seek Him. We pray earnestly that God will renew our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, so that when God looks at us, He'll see only His Son, because the old man will have passed away. And we praise Him for that. And Brother David, if it's all right, I wanted to see if my 5-year-old,
that'd be great,
Anna,
that'd be great,
would come share with you guys something that she has been learning recently. I had the privilege and the honor, God gave that to me several weeks ago, that I was able to baptize my daughter. And we didn't have a cold pool like Brother Bob here baptized me in back in November, but so we did it in a warm bathtub. And Anna, I wanted to see if you would share with everybody, what does it mean to be baptized?
The old man who sins goes in the water and dies in the water, and the new man who has Jesus Christ rises up out of the water and lives.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense anymore.
Doesn't make any sense. That's right. The old man passes away and the new man is alive in Christ, right?
Right.
Wow. Isn't that awesome?
And we were going to see if my 2-year-old, Stephen, would come share with us the fruits of the Spirit. Stephen, will you come tell everybody the fruits of the Spirit? You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, you can hold the microphone. Hold it right there. Okay, tell us the fruits of the Spirit. Here, come tell me. Tell me what the fruits of the Spirit are.
Peace. Love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, goodness.
You kind of trailed off there. Peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And what's the one that you always like to forget? Gentleness and self-control. Brother David, we're convinced that the reason he forgets gentleness is because he is anything but gentle. So that's one of our big prayers. Yeah. That he'll learn what that means.
He's two, by the way.
Yes, sir. He is 2 years old. He'll be
awesome.
Three next month.
Very good. That one's turned off. He grabbed another mic, but that one's turned off. That's great. That's great. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. That's a great testimony, too. Thank you, Lord, for his blessings on the Bradleys. That's a neat thing.